All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is competing at BKFC 49 on August the 25th. And it's a very intriguing fight with Brian Duran and Dakota Highpine getting out there and testing skills. And great having Dakota on the show for the first time. How's everything going there, man? You having a good day so far?
Oh, yeah. I went to a softball or baseball game this morning. Had a little bit of time, so trying to hit the interview and I want to get more exposure, so this is one way to do it.
Yeah, no doubt, man. What was the baseball game you just checked out, though?
The Great Falls Voyagers here in town.
Oh, nice. How was that?
They're still playing. I had to run home and do a couple things before I got on the interview, so...
Just interesting, though, shows how, you know, connected to the community you are. And I guess part of the reason I wanted to kind of go along with that thread, I'm noticing this is your first BKFC fight outside of the home state of Montana. So, like, how does that kind of feel? Just kind of getting to, like, you know, step outside of the immediate area a little bit and just readying to fight in Miami here?
For me, I know that's a pretty far away. The farthest I've probably been was Kansas City when I was 13, went to world championships for boxing there, for USA Boxing. But yeah, Miami has always been a place I wanted to visit. And now that I get to go see it, plus fight in Miami, it's such a big thing for me. I feel accomplished and I'm just ready for it. I want to take it all in. I've never been to a beach, never really been that far away, so it's a new thing for me.
Yeah, it seemed like it came around pretty quickly per a post you had there. Like, when did this bout offer come your way? Because you had last fought in the earlier part of June there. So, I mean, not like the quickest turnaround in the world per se, but I mean, still fairly quick. I mean, like a bit over, you know, 2 months after the fact. So, like, when did this bout offer initially come your way, I guess?
I would have to say just a few weeks after, maybe a month. And I don't know. I've watched Brian from the beginning, and I've watched Tom's show from the beginning, and those are two of my favorite fighters. So when they threw the contract at me and said it was for Brian Duran, I was like, yeah, let's do it. It's not every day you fight your favorite fighter, you know?
And definitely a lot I want to talk about with the fight specifically, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on the Tom Schoaf shout out there, because I was talking to him the other day, actually, and I was kind of a little bit taken aback to hear that he's looking at this next fight as his actual retirement fight from bare knuckle. So, like, how does it feel to be, I guess, competing on the same card with him as he's readying for his swan song from the sport?
Well, I've seen that too, and I don't know, just to be on a card with him, was him be my favorite fighter, I don't know how to approach it or just to say hi, because he knows I'm a BKFC fighter, and I told him, like, I'm a big fan, and hopefully one day we get on a card together, and this is it. It's a big thing. I've never felt, like, I don't know, more excited, or this is a big, big, big feeling for me.
Yeah, and it seemed like you really, like, went back to the drawing board after your last fight there against Ryan Ibsen at BKFC 44. Like, in your post-fight interview, you were talking about, I guess, wanting to develop that greater understanding of the reach, and it seemed like there were some other things you were looking to, I guess, like, sharpen up a little bit. Like, do you feel like you were able to, I guess, sufficiently do that? I mean, obviously, you're going to continue to grow and refine, but did you, I guess, experience a level of growth since the last fight that you're, I guess, particularly pleased with, like, ready to show off here?
Yes. A lot better footwork. I usually don't use my left a lot as, like, my power, but this one walking in, my left's gonna be there. He's gonna fill it, and I'm sorry to say it, but Brian, he's gotta go down. I'm doing it for Montana.
Yeah, and just the way you're talking about your opponent strikes me as if you're like acutely aware of what he brings to the table. And in that one of those posts I was referencing earlier about how the fight came pretty quickly, you were crediting him as a good opponent and everything like that. Like, it seems like this was something you guys were talking about even at like an earlier point in time. Like, when did you guys first kind of start talking about the idea of fighting each other? Like, when did that kind of, I mean, not banter per se, but that idea of like, oh yeah, it'd be cool to fight. Like, when did all that start, you know, picking up initially from your recollection?
From my recollection, I think after my first BKFC fight, he said he needed an opponent, and I seen it on Instagram, and he asked me, or like, I just put on, like, I'd fight you if we got the chance, like, I'll be your opponent, and he was like, that's what's up, like, we could do that, and came into the future, and we were, like, when I got the contract, and I signed it, and I sent it back, he was like, you got your dream, it came true, and I was like, it's not every day you fight your favorite fighter, so it's definitely a big thing. Coming from Great Falls, being such a small town and not a lot of people here, to go in a fight in front of half the town, maybe, like, this is big.
And I think it's a big comment to, you know, describe him as your favorite fighter. Like, what is it about Brian Duran that you would say, I guess, makes him your favorite fighter?
Well, he's one of my favorite fighters. I would say since the beginning, first time I ever seen him, like, his persona, when he hops in the ring, he's jacked up, he's ready. And the best people could hop in there with you and, like, be a gladiator just as well. So I give him all respect and nothing but.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you mean. And I mean, I think his record reflects that kind of intensity in a certain sense too, just being 4-0 in BKFC with 100% finishing rate. So definitely, yeah, bringing that excitement you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know. I just like his fighting style. That's one of the things that caught me on first. And I just knew he's a fighter. He's a scrapper. I'm a fighter. I'm a scrapper. And everybody in Great Falls, like, they know who I am. They know the name.
Yeah, it seems like he's getting back to featherweight here. Just, you know, he debuted in BKFC at 145, but noticed his subsequent fights were either like 160 catch weights or up at lightweight there, so kind of an interesting facet that he's getting back down to 145 for the first time in a little bit here.
Yeah, and when he went down to 145, I was like, oh man, that's because the last one I seen him fight, he was 160, 165 or something like that, so it's a pretty big drop in weight, but I'm excited to see where it puts us.
Yeah, and it seems like from what I can tell, doing some, like, research on you, it seems like Diesel's Counterpunch Gym is, like, the predominant space you've been working at. And, I mean, if that is the case, I guess I'm curious, like, who you might have been working with, like, sparring partner-wise that maybe has, like, a similar body type or similar stylistic attributes to your opponent here. Like, how are you going about curating the camp for this one here?
I've been trying to go around to different gyms and just spar with different people because, I don't know, his style, a lot of people don't do it, you know? Aggressive, stuff like that. Like, I like to be aggressive, but I'm stepping back, being a little defensive on this one.
Yeah, so you can see this fight being one that maybe plays out more in, like, the even, like, middle to later rounds, like, maybe collect some intel early on and kind of get a sense of, like, that pressure and forward approach that you were talking about he brings.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, a lot of interesting facets to this fight, and curious to get some insights here because you were alluding to it a bit earlier too, like talking about back in the day going to like some of the like boxing competitions and stuff like that. And I was seeing that you did have that amateur boxing background and also a bit of amateur MMA before going into bare knuckle. So I'm curious, like obviously different aspects to these sports, but like in just even in the realm of the actual stand-up game, like what differences exist in bare knuckle as compared to some of the other sports you've had there? Just curious to get some insights because it looks like you've had experience over a few combat sports.
One of my friends, Leo Brassiere, he got me into to go up and talk to Joe Riggs. He was throwing on like a little boxing match place, and I was like, yeah, like I'll come up and I wanna fight. I was at 155 at the time, and from there Joe was like, you would be a good addition to like MMA, and I started training a little bit with them, doing a little bit of jiu-jitsu. And I don't know, I liked it, but I'm a stand-up guy. I boxed for plenty of years, and that's just where my heart is. My grandpa, when I was growing up, he'd watch the ESPN Classics, and I told him I'm gonna be there one day, and he passed away when I was 19, and now to be on the big stage, I wish he was here with me. It'd be a big things for him, because he always wanted to be a professional, but he never got the chance. So I'm making both of our dreams come true at once.
I'm definitely sorry for your loss, man, but that's something that I kind of gleaned from doing my research on you as well. Just like, grandma and grandpa were fighters, and a lot of the people on your grandpa's side were like all boxers growing up. Like, it seems like you really like sink your teeth into this opportunity, just talking about how, like, as much as they were fighters, they didn't really have the opportunity to go pro as much because they're like starting their own families. So it really seems like that gives you like a tremendous amount of motivation and is very important to you, understandably. Can you talk a bit about that? Because I think it's cool that you've got that like fighting culture in the family and all.
So growing up, I just looked up to everybody in my family, and I'm pretty sure every man that's in my family has been a boxer or has been in a ring. So I just wanted to follow a family tradition. They're all Azures, and I'm an Azure as well, but High Pine is my dad's last name, and that's gonna be my last name. Like, it is my last name, so I'm the first High Pine to ever be a fighter, I'm pretty sure, and I'm gonna make the most of it.
Yeah, it's awesome to hear, man. It just seems like a cool thing in a generational sort of sense too. Like, it seems like you're a proud dad also from what I can see on social media there. So who knows, maybe we're gonna get another generation of boxers coming out of the family there.
Oh yeah, I got a 3-year-old son right now, and he knows what he's doing. He boxes a little bit once in a while, and I want him to be a boxer and teach him like self-discipline. So it definitely helped me growing up. So it'd be an outlet for him, hopefully, and I can be in his corner.
Yeah, that would be great, man. But kind of pulling it back to like talking about a guy that's very much in your corner. Like, you were talking about the quality of work with a guy like Joe Riggs. I mean, that just seems like such a great team that's even like developed out there. It seems like so many great guys like train under him and everything. And I mean, great knowledge being that he's a former UFC veteran, just in terms of the martial arts know-how in general, but also just what he's done in BKFC, having previously fought for that light heavyweight world title. I mean, like, that must have been such a significant thing for you. Like, it seems like it really even got you in the sport initially. Like, can you speak to, I guess, that camaraderie with Joe Riggs there and just how important he's been to your overall development as a fighter?
My development, he didn't even have to get like give me a boxing match when I first met him, but he gave me a chance, and he found the diamond in the rough. I fought for him probably 13 times, and I won 12. And I don't know, I just kept doing it, kept boxing for him, and one day I was training with him, and he asked me, have you ever thought about doing bare knuckle? And I looked at him, and I was like, that's what I've been working towards. Do you think I can do it? He said, I could get you a fight. And that's like a month before my first BKFC fight. I was just super excited. I give all my credit to Joe Riggs and my auntie Jamie, and because without those two, I probably wouldn't push myself so hard to be where I am today.
Yeah, I love hearing about the motivation there, but I guess kind of going back to my earlier question about differences in the combat sports there, because you've had the glove boxing experience that we're talking about. I know some bare knuckle fighters will almost like adopt additional like measures to like strengthen their hands, like the Muay Thai board work or like gripping sand or punching rice, like stuff of that kind of persuasion. Like, is that anything you do? Like, I know some fighters almost kind of scoff at it and they're like, oh, I just kind of do like the normative like boxing kind of work that I would do in that sort of camp. Like, where are you at in that regard? Are you doing some extra like specific hand strengthening techniques for bare knuckle?
Yes, lots and lots, especially on my wrist, because that's where most of the injuries come from. And just trying to do some board work and sand and rice, rubbing rice. As much as anything that I could do to strengthen my hands, I've been trying to do it, so.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it seems like it would pay dividends for a sport like this, but you've been great with your time, Dakota, and it's been great getting to have these insights from you and talk to you ahead of what looks like a very intriguing fight, but just, you know, being mindful of your time and schedule, man. Just curious if there's maybe like a final parting thought you'd like to add as we're sort of wrapping things up here, though.
I just want to give a shout out to my wife, Cutter Deschner, because I wouldn't be the man I am today without her. And I just want to say I love her. And she pushed me to be the man and the fighter. And when I don't want to train, she says, you better get your ass up, go to the gym. I'm like, okay. So it's all her, and I'm glad to have her.
Well, it's an awesome shout out, man. Glad you have that in your life. The love of a great partner is always something that can be just hugely uplifting. So great to hear that you've got that going. And yeah, awesome shout out, and very much looking forward to BKFC 49. And just to reiterate, very much appreciate you giving such good insights ahead of this fight on August 25th. But until then, man, you have a good rest of your day and a good rest of your weekend as well.
All right. You too. And thank you so much for the interview.